Sunday approaches. I think it's going to be a dandy. Super Bowl 57. Our guest is absolutely a returning champ. He's here courtesy of the Believe Network. He hosts Believe in Chiefs. He was drafted by KC in round two in the 91 draft out of Penn. He's the Ivy Leaguer from Folsom High outside Philly. On Twitter, you can follow along. It's at JoeValerio73. Joe, welcome back. Great having you. How's life been treating you and yours?
Hey, Steve, it's been going great. You know, I'm excited about this Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, being a Philadelphia native and somebody who's lived here my whole life other than my time in Kansas City and having been a Kansas City Chief, you know, we're going to have hoagies and cheesesteaks on the left side of the basement. We're going to have Kansas City barbecue on the right side and let people's stomachs determine who they're going to root for on Sunday at our Super Bowl party.
I love it. You know, a question I'm going to ask you, obviously, to a high-level player like you, as you pursue the dream, NFL, NBA, you know, you get drafted, and it's about the opportunity. But I'm curious, you know, when you're from Philly and the Eagles are so prominent in sports life, I know your rookie year, the Chiefs played the Eagles. Is that kind of like a unique moment? Like, man, I've worn your gear and rooted for you my whole life, and now I just want to crush you.
You know, there's some crazy stories around that I'll share with you. But, you know, it was literally, you know, when I saw those Eagles helmets, those winged helmets come out of the tunnel at Arrowhead on the far side of the end zone, I got to say, I almost passed out. I mean, I basically was like, oh, my God, I'm actually doing this. You know, living in Kansas City, playing in the AFC West, you know, playing a predominantly AFC schedule in 1991, and all of a sudden here I am, you know, going against guys that, you know, I watched through high school and college, and Reggie White and, you know, Clyde Simmons and Seth Joyner and Randall Cunningham. Like, oh my God, I'm actually doing this. Like, I can't believe this is happening. And it was really amazing. But the craziest thing about it is when I got drafted in 91, you know, I was at the Maxwell Club Awards in Philadelphia, and I got approached by Harry Gamble, who was the general manager of the Eagles at the time, and he came over, and he was actually, he was a Penn coach back in the day in the 70s, and he came over and said, hey, Joe, listen, congratulations on, you know, going to the Chiefs. Carl Peterson's a great friend. He's a Philadelphia guy. You know, you're going to love the Hunt family. And he goes, oh, by the way, you were our next pick in the draft if you were still on the board. I was like, oh, my God, Mr. Gamble, why did you have to tell me that? You know, so it's the twists and turns that go on, you know, in your NFL career. So, this Super Bowl is pretty amazing. I mean, listen, I had a fantasy football team a few years ago. I called them because I had so many Eagles and Chiefs on my fantasy football roster, and I'm such a fan of both teams. I had the team's name was the Kansadelphia Cheagle. So, you know, it's just crazy how it's all come about, and I'm just happy to see the two best teams in the NFL playing in the Super Bowl. And I'm happy to see two teams where the worst thing that has been said, the worst piece of bulletin board material so far in these 2 weeks leading up to the hype has been Juju Smith-Schuster saying that the best cheesesteaks aren't served in Philadelphia. Ugh. Like, that was like the worst. Like, that is the worst thing that's happened. Like, how refreshing is it that we're not dealing with shenanigans and, you know, trash talk and all that social media, you know, baloney? And I'm just loving it because it's the two best teams respecting each other who are going to go out and play a great game. So it's actually really nice.
We could focus on the game. Who'd have thunk it? When a stud performs injured, the list gets rolled out, whether it's Willis Reed, Michael Jordan's flu game, Kirk Gibson. And I think for most of the first half against Cincinnati, I was thinking, well, Mahomes looks okay. But then on multiple plays, it was obvious he was hurt. So as a player, how fired up do you get when your field general is out there basically on one leg just gutting it out in a do-or-die game like that?
Yeah, I mean, come on. How do you not, as a player, have unbelievable amount of respect for a guy like that? Like we already needed more respect, you know, for right. Patrick Mahomes. But the fact that he's going out there limping around on an injury that, you know, you hear the stories, right? 6 weeks, 5 weeks, boots. you know, things like that. And he's just doing it. Like, you know, there was all that viral video of him, you know, at his local gym, like working out with his personal trainer, like the night after the game, like getting a lift in. You're like, oh my God, this guy's, he's not human. So yeah, it's very inspiring, right? To have a quarterback that is willing to put his body on the line and to play through that pain so that he can give his team the best chance to win. I mean, how do you not get inspired by something like that?
Talking Chiefs and Eagles, Joe Valerio, Believe in Chiefs podcast, former Chief lineman. So when you played, Paul Hackett was the offensive coordinator, Marty Schottenheimer was the coach, but Schottenheimer was a defensive coach. We know it's Andy Reid's offense, and I went through his resume, 24 years as a head coach. He's only missed the postseason 6 times. He's had a top 10 offense 16 times. Joe, what about his plan, his scheme, his design just always seems to work and put up a bunch of points?
Well, here's what he does. You know, and I've said this many, many times about Coach Reid. He has an uncanny ability to match his playbook to his players. And he doesn't try to jam square pegs into a round hole and say, well, you don't fit my offensive philosophy, so it's my way or the highway. He doesn't do that. He takes the talent that he has, matches it to his playbook, and takes his playbook and matches it to his talent. And I'm telling you, he has an, uncanny ability to do that and to let that permeate throughout his staff, right? And I think they do it on defense in teams that he has been head coach of as well. It's not just the offense. And to me, that's the secret sauce of why Andy Reid has been so successful, is he's able to marry his talent with his philosophy. And he doesn't just say, you know, you're gone if you don't fit this scheme. And Bill Belichick did the same thing, right? So when you start talking about dynasties, right, like the Chiefs, five straight AFC championships, 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, Super Bowl with the Eagles, triple NFC championships, like, how do you not then say, okay, he's got something different than other head coaches in this day and age when it's really hard to build a dynasty with different teams, different players? And this is a completely different Chiefs roster than he had in those other Super Bowl games. So it's a testament, really, to him and his ability to get his talent to do what he needs it to do out on the field. That's what I think he does better than anybody.
You know, I'm happy you brought that up because about the turnover, because I was looking at the offensive line, Joe, and I came up with the magic number of 2. Orlando Brown at left tackle, Joe Tooney at left guard, second year with the team as free agents. Creed Humphrey at center, Trey Smith at right guard, second year as draft picks. I know Wiley's kind of a vet, but so this group mostly brought in after they won the AFC in 2020. What about the job their line coach Andy Heck has done? You know, what strikes you about this unit?
Well, yeah, Andy's a great coach. He was a great player, you know, most of his career with the Bears, and he's a fellow triplet dad too, which is really cool. We both have triplets, which is kind of an interesting connection to have with Andy. But you know, he's just a fantastic coach. He just knows how to coach his players again to fit the offense, right? To work with the team and say, okay, these are my offensive linemen strengths. These are the plays they can run. These are the things they can do. Let's build a playbook around them. And that's what I think this whole staff does. And he just does a great job. They're all technique masters. If you watch every one of them, and they're maulers too, like the Chiefs offensive liner, they're maulers. And that just comes from Andy being a player, you know, and having been a pro on the line. And I think he just teaches that mentality that you just got to get after it and you got to finish plays. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty tremendous. Like, really the only constants, if you really look at this Chiefs team, the only constants on offense, at least speaking on the offensive side of the ball, are really Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. When you start talking about dynasty, right, and saying, okay, you know, these 5 straight AFC championships, really it comes down to Patrick and Travis. So, you know, are they the secret sauce? You know, are they the ones that really make this thing hum? And you know, you have to imagine that, yeah, right, it's obvious, Captain Obvious statement. If they've been the ones that have been here for all that success, then of course, you know, they're the two constants, and they're probably, you know, part of this formula for success. So yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have done a great job of dealing with the turnover and having a great philosophy that they could plug and play. Again, you go back to the Patriots, very similar type you know, a couple of strings of consistency with those Patriots teams. You know, Brady, didn't have Gronk for all of them. If you're able to tie that all together, it says a lot about the team and the coaching staff.
Joe, obviously, we know Philly likes to attack the pocket. I mean, 70 sacks, four guys in double figures. So as far as KC is concerned, be it getting the running game going, the screen game, I know that, you know, Jared McKinnon's a terrific receiver. They get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. How best to keep that, I guess, to call Eagle assault honest and avoid them teeing off on Mahomes?
Well, you know, they haven't really seen Patrick Mahomes or anyone like him yet. And when they did, you know, last year during the regular season, it wasn't pretty for the Eagles. So, and they've changed a lot, too. I'm not saying it's the same team or even close. But nonetheless, you know, they haven't really seen this year a whole lot of talent like Patrick Mahomes. So whether or not they have the muscle memory to really rush against somebody like that. And what this Chiefs line does really well is when there are pass rushers going after the quarterback or rushing, the Chiefs line, they generally will take rushers where they want to go or where the rusher wants to go. And they just wash them by Patrick. And Patrick has an incredible ability to sidestep and to find the pocket within the pocket. So while you think you might have a path to him, you know, their offensive line, they're not going to try to get their body between the defender and Patrick. They're going to just take the defender where the defender was going and wash him by rather than try to fight it and what we call butt block and like position block and get between the quarterback and the defender. They just kind of like keep taking them where they're going, and Patrick just steps around in the pocket and finds that open space. That's what he does really well. I call it finding the pocket within the pocket. And the Chiefs line has gotten very comfortable in that kind of protection and knowing where Patrick is going to be and not trying to just assume he's going to be standing 7 yards behind the center, dead behind, you know, the offensive line. They just know that he could be anywhere, and let's just take these defenders where they want to go. And that's pretty, it seems like it's worked really well.
Couple final thoughts for Joe Valerio. When you've got Casey's firepower, sometimes you overlook the defense. I'm a Giants fan. Steve Spagnuolo won the Super Bowl with the 07 Giants, won here. I think second-year linebacker Nick Bolton kind of sneaks under the radar, had 180 tackles. We just saw what Chris Jones did to the Bengals. What do you like about this defense and their ability to slow down Hurts and Philly?
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of discipline on this front. I think the keys to the game are going to be those two linebackers, you know, being able to read the RPO properly and have some muscle memory to it, right? Because it's not just something you can watch on film. You actually have to go out and rep it and practice against it. And I think a big onus is going to be on the Chiefs scout team to emulate Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert and what this Eagles explosive offense can do with the RPO. And I think they're going to have to make sure they're given the right player, the number one jersey for Jalen Hurts, and to make sure that he's acting like Jalen Hurts. And as Coach Schottenheimer used to say, give him a look, guys, give him a look. And you want to make sure that they're building in, like I said, not to overuse the term, but you want to build in that muscle memory. And that's going to be really, really important in their preparation. And, you know, they're getting down to crunch time now. So if they haven't done it already, they better get to repping, because it could be a long day. You saw what the Eagles offense did to the 49ers, and they're a solid D. They had some gashing runs, and, you know, Jalen was able to pick them apart in the intermediate pass game. Now, he was a little, you know, I don't think he was 100%. And if he was 100%, they were definitely protecting him, because when they were running the RPO with Jalen, they were skirting him to the outside, and so he could either slide or go out of bounds. And he was going to his opposite, you know, he was going to his right side to protect his right shoulder and not take a big hit going the other way. But, you know, I'm sure they're going to throw caution to the wind in this game. It's the last game of the year, and, you know, I'm sure they're going to see some off-tackle running by Jalen, which is, you know, where he's most effective with the RPO.
The last thing I want to get to is from you. Obviously, you have your analytical side, and as you mentioned, your heart's going to be tugged in a bunch of directions here.
Yeah.
For me, the fan in me, I can't wait. I just think it's going to be a terrific game. I'm leaning Chiefs with their experience, Andy Reid, Mahomes. So what's your gut telling you? How do you see this one playing out Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I had my ups and downs this week, and the closer I get to the game, I keep thinking about the Chiefs preparing for this one, and I just feel like, you know, I just feel like the Chiefs are going to have a little bit of an edge in that department. I think, you know, Nick Sirianni's a young coach. It's Jalen's, you know, first time on the Super Bowl stage. The other guys have been there before from the Chiefs. And I just think Andy's going to have all this time to prepare, and he's going to put together a plan that really works. And I just see that kind of being maybe the X factor. I'm definitely seeing it as a high-scoring game. I don't think these defenses are going to be ready for each other's offense. I just have a feeling that both teams are going to start really fast and start accumulating points quickly. And I think we're going to be looking at like a 31 to 27 game. And at this point, I'm kind of like thinking the Chiefs might have a tiny bit of an edge. But, you know, hey, listen, if the Eagles can jump out early and Jalen can stay in that run pass option mode and not be forced into a full passing game where they get behind by 10 or 14, you know, that could be a long day for the Eagles. So if he doesn't and he gets ahead and they do like what they usually do and they jump out in the early lead, you know, it could be 31-27 Eagles. Like I think it's going to be that close of a game and it's going to be that high scoring.
I always say if it was easy to figure, I'd be having this conversation from my mansion in Vegas. So
yeah, exactly, right? I mean, who knows, right? You got to play the game. The ball is shaped like a – you know, it's shaped like an oblong spheroid for a reason, because it bounces funny in football, and you know, you just don't know where that thing is going to bounce, and you don't know which team is going to come out. How healthy can the Chiefs get? Can their wide receiving core be, you know, as 100% as possible up and down? I mean, we know we're not going to have Mecole Hardman, but you know, it's going to come down to a lot of things and a lot of individual matchups that we didn't even have time to talk about.
Folks, he's Joe Valerio, host of the Believe in Chiefs podcast, part of the Believe Network, generous enough with his time to join us to talk Super Bowl 57 on Twitter. The handle is at Joe Valerio 73. Hey, Joe, thanks a million. I really appreciate it. You and yours be well. Enjoy the action. And, of course, as next season approaches, look forward to talking again.
Awesome, Steve. Have a great one. Great to catch up and enjoy the game. And, you know, let's talk again soon.
You got it, buddy. Have a good one. Take care, okay. Joe.
All right. You too, buddy. Bye.
Bye.